Hello, everyone, and welcome to the TA Discussion Hour. My name is Nathan Agin, and welcome to this week. We have plenty of classes, plenty of big ideas, lots of discussion, and a lot of fun topics. I'm really excited to dive in. We have a couple classes that we're going to check in with that actually finished up the Academy. At least one new one starting. We got a bunch of classes going on, as you know. This is just a quick selection of some of the biggest big ideas, things that really fired us up at the Academy, and things we want to share with you so that you can get a taste of what's going on and figure out what you might want to dive into deeper with. So let me give you a quick rundown of the notes that we're going to do this week. We got week number 7. This is the final week of Strength for Life with Sean Phillips. We get the final week of Love University with Mastin Kipp, week number 4. We got the first week, brand new class of A 5-Star Practice for Creating Beautiful Relationships with Dr. Keith Witt, a couple ideas from that class. We have week number 4, The Shiro's Journey with Jennifer Loudon, all about savoring and serving. We got a self-trust big idea in there. Then we got week number 5 from The Big Glow, Living an Inspired Life with Brian Piergrassi, talking about inspired relationships this week. And then finally, we're going to talk about The Power of Authentic Living with Alan Cohen, finishing out that class with Enjoying the Ride. So those are a quick idea of some of the notes we have this week. And again, all the classes, you can find everything at entheosacademy.com. And we're also doing entheosradio.com. Entheos Radio is completely free radio. You can stream the shows right in your browser. You can download the MP3s. What else do we have? We have the Entheos blog, which is entheos.com/blog, where you'll find all the big ideas for all of the classes and just all free information and content. And a great way to just check into what classes are going on, what you might want to learn more about, and maybe even sign up for. And then, of course, this radio show currently is being hosted at the at tadiscussionhour.podbean.com. tadiscussionhour.podbean.com. You can find all the episodes we've done up to this point. So really excited to be here again, just having a lot of fun. Personally going through all the classes, all the notes from all the classes each week, and there's just so much content. You know, it would be a full-time job just to listen to all the classes. And so to go back and have all the notes and be able to look through what's going on from week to week and all these different areas and topics of our life, nutrition and mindfulness and, career and creativity, all these things, it's really great to get a quick synopsis of what's going on and then be able to share that, turn it around and share that with all of you. So thank you again for listening. And without further ado, let's dive into the big ideas that I wanted to share from the past week of classes. So let's start with Strength for Life with Sean Phillips. This is bonus week number 7, and Sean was doing a wrap-up class with Strength for Life. And there were a couple of things I wanted to pull out of that class, a couple big ideas, kind of one related idea. But big idea number 2 is the shake break. So the shake break is a simple way to powerfully and permanently transform your relationship with food and energy for life. Sounds good so far. Part mindfulness practice, part meditation with affirmation, gratitude and abundance all rolled in. The shake break is a ritual that nourishes and satisfies your body, mind, and soul. So this all sounds fantastic so far. And Sean goes on, he says, even great nutrition is not enough if you are not present. And I believe that absolutely. I remember I was TAing Secrets of Mind, Body, Nutrition with Mark David. And, you know, he was saying you could be eating the healthiest foods in the world, but if you're not present to the experience, if you're just gobbling them up and not experiencing that food, you might not as well be eating, you know, those healthy foods. Of course, they're better than eating, you know, junk and processed food, but you're still not getting the total nutritional content. So I think Sean is right on the money here. So he says the shake break is 5 minutes of truly 100% you time, calm, centered, present, and relaxed, tuning into the positive energies in the world, all that's good in your life, and thus easing the tension and stress. The shake break is like a daily oasis of energy and confidence. It feels like I'm doing a radio ad for some kind of product here, the shake break, but it sounds great. I think it's a really fantastic concept, and I can even integrate this into my life. So let's roll right into the big idea number three, which are the three steps of the shake break. So we just learned about all the benefits of, you know, why we want to have this and kind of how it conceptually it's going to go. So let's go into big idea number three of the steps. And so the key is to plan ahead and to know where you're going to break in your day and then do it. That is so important, you know, making that commitment and then following through. So number one, blend a perfect, healthy, full-strength shake, and then sit back and prepare for resurrection. I love that. It's such a powerful word, but, you know, sit back, prepare for resurrection. And, you know, they're not linked on the note, but I am fully confident that Sean has notes on his site or in his book on recipes for a full-strength shake. But I'm sure, you know, if you already have a recipe, whether it's, you know, a fruit smoothie or, you know, you incorporate some greens in there or some protein powder, whatever you're doing, I'm sure that'll work for this shake break. Mike Mahler, who runs Importance of Optimizing Hormones class, there is a recipe for one of his power shakes. So, you know, if you're looking for a recipe, you know, you can even just Google, you know, green smoothie or, you know, power shake. I'm sure you get a lot of hits. So that's number one, blend the perfect, healthy, full-strength shake. Number two, own the present moment. Whether you're starting your day with a shake or enjoying it for lunch or an afternoon boost, your shake break is your time. Own it. To give yourself 5 minutes of me time without interruption or the dreaded multitasking is not too much to ask in a world where you invest almost every waking moment giving yourself to. So just reiterating, number two, own the present moment. Really take that time for yourself. It's so important. And, you know, we spend so much time giving of ourselves and trying to, you know, be and do. Just take that time for yourself. You know, it's 5 minutes. It's all Sean is asking. So number three, and this one sounds pretty easy, enjoy the moment or moments. With your shaken hand ready for your enjoyment, sit back, inhale deeply, and exhale. Clear your mind, feel your feet on the floor, and then with a clear mind, calm energy, and grounded body, take your first drink. Holding this present moment space as you thoughtfully enjoy your full strength shake from start to end. Now that sounds like such an amazing practice, just enjoying the moment and really preparing for that first taste of that shake. Because I think so many of us, and myself included, it's so easy to just, you know, as soon as you make something, start gobbling it up and eating it quickly. And you're not really tasting it. You're not really aware of what's going on. And so this is a great idea. So just enjoy the moment. Now, Sean says, your mind is going to wander to tasks, responsibilities, and various dramas, but give your mind a break from these for the next 5 minutes and keep bringing your attention back to the sensations of the moment, relaxing into your chair and breathing effortlessly. And as he wraps up, he says, enjoy shake breaking. So I think that was a fun, great idea. I just wanted to pass along to you the shake break. 5 minutes to enjoy your power shake, your healthy, full-strength shake, just great concept. And of course, you can apply that to any food, whether, whether it's a salad or your dinner or snack, whatever you're doing, you know, however we can bring more mindfulness to these practices and really enjoy these moments, own these moments, I think the fuller and richer our life is going to be. So let's move over to another class that has wrapped up. This is Love University with Mastin Kipp, week number four, Be the Hero of Your Own Life. And I've really enjoyed reading the notes for Mastin's class. I haven't had an opportunity to listen to the classes. I listened to the first one I was on that call and it was really great. And Mastin's got such great energy, and I really love the content he puts forth. And he's teaching a couple additional classes, some group coaching, and then discovering your purpose. Just really fantastic stuff. So this is kind of leading into that conversation in terms of your purpose. There's some hero's journey talk this week. So let's get into big idea number one: show up for others. A hero is someone who has given his or her life to something bigger than oneself. And that quote comes from Joseph Campbell. So Mastin goes forward. He says, when you make the shift into stepping into contribution and love, life is no longer just about you. It's not about how you can get your needs met only. It's about how can I serve? You know, when we show up to serve others, the gift inside of us, that seed we were blessed with, comes forward and blossoms in ways that we did not even see possible before. To step into the flow, into God, into the universe's grace, is to attach yourself to something larger than you. See, if life is only about you, there is no way to ride the wave of life, because at some point, it will dry up. Seek a purpose larger than yourself. And here's a question to ask yourself: how can you serve now? There is so much wisdom in there. Just so many great ideas. What do I want to highlight? Just asking that question, how can I serve? Just continue to ask it. How can I serve? How can I serve, in this situation with these people? How can I bring my gifts, and make it not about me? I think it's such an important question, and to step into the flow, into God, into the universe's grace, is to attach yourself to something larger than you. Because yeah, if we're riding that wave of life only focused on us, eventually that wave is just gonna, end, and we're gonna crash, because it's not enough to sustain us. And it's not demanding that you find the highest, most expensive way to serve. It could be something very simple. It's just about showing up, asking that question, and then bringing your gifts forward. Because what I've noticed is when I'm working on something, when I'm helping someone out, when I'm doing my thing and I'm focused on that activity, I'm not concerned about, is this right? Or are other people going to like me for this? No, because it's not about that. It's not about me. It's about how can I show up and be a really fantastic person, and bring my gifts forward, that I've been blessed to have, and how can I use those in a great way today? So again, wherever you are, whatever your dynamics, relationships are, situation is, just how can you show up and bring your gifts, and how can you serve? Which leads us into big idea number two: you are a hero if you choose. So now we have another great quote from Joseph Campbell. Furthermore, we have not even to risk the adventure alone, for the heroes of old time have come before us. The labyrinth is fully known. We have only to follow the thread of the hero path. And where we had thought to find an abomination, we shall find a god. Where we had thought to slay another, we shall slay ourselves. Where we had thought to travel outward, we shall come to the center of our own existence. Where we had thought to be alone, we shall be with all the world. So in brief, the path is known. There are clues. People have come before us. All the people we look up to have gone on their own hero's journey. So the hero's journey is available to us all. It's a choice to be a hero of your own life. And here's the conundrum or irony: all are chosen. It takes listening to your own heart's calling while you are out in the unknown. So are you willing to risk uncertainty, to step out of significance and into contribution, in order to lead a life of purpose and meaning? Again, just huge ideas in there. And one of my favorites is that we're not alone on this hero's journey. The way I describe it to people is that very often, the hero's journey feels like a very lonely road, because lot of times the people you're around, they might not understand what you're doing. They may even be resistant to it or try to persuade you to get off that hero's path. The important thing to remember is that while it might feel lonely, you are not alone. Not only are there the other people in the world currently going on this hero's journey with you, you might not always be able to see them. There are all the people that have come before us that have gone on these hero's journey, all the people that we admire that have done something significant or great with their lives, or like the quote says, stepped out of significance, stepped out, into uncertainty and walked forward into contribution. There are so many people we can look to for inspiration, for meaning, for purpose. And it's just remembering, to follow your heart. And I love how that is set up, that in terms of, who's chosen to go on this hero's journey, we're all chosen. It's just that, do we listen? Do we hear the call? Do we respond to what our heart is telling us? So all are chosen for this hero's journey. Are you listening? Do you hear this call? Are you honoring that call? So what a great, great idea to bring up. And I just love, Joseph Campbell, always great wisdom, such a cool guy. So that was a couple quick ideas from week number 4 of Maston's class. Really highly encourage you to check out the rest of the weeks. Very short, easy to digest stuff. And Maston's very cool. And like I said, he's got a couple other classes coming up with us. So let's move over to a 5-star practice for creating beautiful relationships with Dr. Keith Witt. We're in week number 1. This is a new course. And we got the 5 stars. So it's called the 5-star practice. Here are the 5 stars. So big idea number 2, and there's actually a couple notes I pulled from this because I really enjoyed them, but I figured we got to cover the 5 stars. So big idea number 2, what are the 5 stars? So the 5 stars are 5 questions that we can ask ourselves about other people and about ourselves as we go about our day to help create the beautiful relationships we desire. I love that. I think it's great, and I love that it's 5 questions. Boom, here we go. So the 5 questions are, number 1, is there erotic polarity between me and this person? Number 2, does this person arrange to be healthy physically and psychologically? Number 3, if we were in conflict, would this person be able and willing to do what it takes to get back to love? Number 4, would this person be a superior parent? And number 5, does this person have deep purpose, and would they recognize and admire my deep purpose? That is awesome. I love those questions. Those are great. It just distills everything, and we're going to get into this in a second. The note is called the romance phase. But, when you're in these stages of a relationship or you're meeting someone, I know I'm not the only one, but my mind races ahead of like, oh, this person could be, my next, a girlfriend or maybe I'll marry her and, all these things we can do together and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, first of all, of course, slow down and let something organically develop, but then to go into it with these questions, and it's not about being, so ridiculously rigid that, you have to get absolute affirmative answers every time you ask these questions, but just to have like these questions in your head and have some kind of criteria of like, who's the kind of person I want to be with? Who's the kind of person I want to partner with? So again, 5 questions. Is there erotic polarity between me and this person? Does this person arrange to be healthy physically and psychologically? If we were in conflict, would this person be able and willing to do what it takes to get back to love? I love that one because it's not just about, resolving the conflict or, could they, keep a cool head and, be able to talk about this rationally. No, it's, can we get back to love? That's the point. Number 4, would this person be a superior parent? Now, whether or not you want to have kids, I think that, do they just have that capacity for love, for nurturing? I think it's a really great question to consider. even if you're not certain you want to have kids? I think that's just a great question, because I think it will represent other qualities this person definitely has. Number five, does this person have deep purpose? And would they recognize and admire my deep purpose? Absolutely essential. I mean, you know, not only do you want someone fired up about their own things in their life and what they're doing here and, you know, excited about what they're, you know, going to get to in the morning and why they're waking up, but then to, you know, recognize and admire and respect and be excited about what you're doing. Absolutely key. I think it's just great. And, you know, again, these don't need to be lofty ambitions and goals, like, you know, each person needs to be changing the world. But, you know, do you just have a deep sense of what you're here to do and you're committed to doing that and rocking it? And God, what great question. So totally, I'm a big fan of the five stars, and you know I'm going to be using them. So thinking about that, let's go into big idea number three. We got the romance phase. And when I read this, I was like, oh yeah, totally me. Totally got to think about this. So romantic infatuation is a temporary state. And of course, I think, you know, that we all know that, you know, we're all the honeymoon phase and all that kind of stuff. So romantic infatuation does not equal being in love. If people were in love all the time, nothing would ever get done, which is so true. After a particular period of time, it's natural for romantic infatuation to fade, which I thought was like, oh, okay, that, you know, it's good to know, good to, you know, remember that, you know, romantic infatuation, you know, will or can fade. And that's totally cool. It's natural. So there are different states of love. There's lust, there's romantic infatuation, and there's intimate bonding. And of course, you know, it's not stated, but, you know, I think we all, you know, in terms of we want to create beautiful relationships, we want to create lasting, deep, you know, partnerships and relationships, we want to aim for that intimate bonding. Now, here was the cool thing. It says, as humans, we go through many states, which means we are wired to be married, to cheat, and to bond. This is why the five stars are so important. So now, that was a huge thing for me. It's that we're literally wired for all these different things, to marry, to cheat, and to bond. Doesn't excuse any of that behavior. Doesn't excuse, you know, if you were to cheat and go, oh, well, you know, this is my natural condition, sorry. Absolutely not. It's just representing or demonstrating that, you know, these are natural states for us. So it explains why we do these things. It doesn't excuse them. And it's why the five stars are so important. So as Dr. Witt says, they are important because as we get better at getting back to love by expanding love in the areas of purpose, parenting, and health, we are able to not surrender to our impulses to cheat. So again, focusing on purpose, parenting, health, all that good stuff, we, you know, align our minds to that kind of stuff, and we're not going to be, I guess, tempted by the cheating. And he says, the happiest people are those who are living in integrity according to their values. And that we see that again and again and again. It's all about living in integrity to your values. And of course, the big question here is, what are your values? You know, do you find yourself making choices according to your values? So whether that has something to do with nutrition or parenting or exercise or mindfulness, you know, what are the values you hold dear? Your family, your work, your partner, your kids, whatever you say is important to you. Because we all do this. We all have things that we say are like, oh, these are very important things to me. Are we acting in alignment with those things? So Dr. Keith Witt says, and this reminds me, you know, on Vital Conversations, Laura Lewis talked about, you know, she does bringing death and dying to the dinner table, you know, having those open conversations about what happens at the end of life. And she says the people who have, you know, probably the most compassionate, maybe even easiest transitions, you know, from this world to the next, are those people who have found, you know, meaning and purpose in their life, and they've lived their lives in integrity. You know, they've spent their lifetime, you know, developing relationships and meaningful connections, so that at the end of their life, those people are present. They're there, you know, to help and assist with this transition. So we see it here, you know, find out what your values are, live in accordance with those. And, you know, as Keith says, it's the purpose, parenting, and health, that's going to keep us away from that, the natural kind of wired state of cheating. So love those two ideas from a five-star practice to creating for Creating Beautiful Relationships with Dr. Keith Witt. And that was just week one. Very cool that we got more coming up with that. So now let's move over to, and this is kind of a random class for me to be bringing up, but I thought there was something that was applicable to everyone. We got the Shiro's Journey with Jennifer Loudon. We're in week number four, Savoring and Serving. Now, of course, this is a class geared toward women. And Jennifer is really all about helping women find their Shiro's Journey. Now, you'll probably hear in there, it is definitely a take on the hero's journey, which Joseph Campbell wrote about extensively. And this is just the kind of female counterpart or female version, if you will, of that. So the Shiro's Journey with Jennifer Loudon, the big idea I want to talk about is self-trust, because I think this is something that everyone deals with. I mean, we all deal with moments of doubt and is this the right thing and all that kind of stuff. So Jennifer outlines a three-step process. Love these three steps for figuring out, to help yourself with self-trust. So is there a simple way to create agreements and trust within myself? That's the question Jennifer posits. Is there a simple way to create agreements and trust within myself? And here are the three ways to do that. Number one, create clarity. The more we strive for and the more we add to our to-do list does not create trust within ourselves and does not create faster change. Set really clear, small steps and watch yourself feel good about yourself. You know, we need our brains to be juiced up on good chemicals. Clean up your to-do list and discover more clarity to self-trust. And I'm absolutely a huge fan of that, because it's not about like what's the biggest, most complex, creative, crazy to-do list I can get done. It's more like what are the simple things I need to get done today? And as you cross those out, take care of those things, you're going to feel good. You're like, wow, look at what I did today. Look at what I accomplished. So it's not about just, we are so good about continuing to add things to our plate without removing anything. And, if you've ever been to a buffet line, you only got so much space. You can't just keep adding food and piling it on. Eventually, it's going to start falling off, and you're going to drop the plate, and it's going to break, and it's going to be a big mess. So create clarity. Refine your to-do list down to the essentials, what you know you need to get done. Number two, self-competency. Set agreements with yourself that you can actually keep. Do not damage and exhaust yourself by overcommitting. Set real-life, inspiring, measurable goals. And this, again, is key. It's all about making things quantifiable. It's not like, what would be a good, a lot of times people say, I want to lose weight. Well, what does that mean? How much weight? What's your goal? Do you want to lose 2 pounds, 5 pounds, 50 pounds? Do you want to go down a couple pant sizes? Do you want to gain muscle? What are the specific measurements that you can use? So, setting and again, setting agreements that you can actually keep. The way I see it, set yourself up for success. Start with things you know you can do, you know you can crush. And the more momentum and energy you get behind those things, the bigger tasks you can handle. But it's all about, keeping them simple as you go along. But as you build the momentum of, oh, I can do this and that and this and the other thing, you do that over time, you'll get some really huge things accomplished. So, and again, don't overcommit. It's really important in our life to learn how to say no. For me, I know it's really tied up into, well, I want to be liked, and so I guess I should say yes, and all this other stuff. Sometimes it is really important and really necessary to say no. So again, set real life, inspiring, measurable goals. And number three, conditions of enoughness. So set out in clear terms, what is enough for any given thing you are deciding to do? Number one, name what is enough in facts. Number two, set a time element for how often and how long. Number three, be dependent only on you, no one else. And number four, practice saying out loud, I did what I said I would do, and I am satisfied. I'm going to go through those again because I think they are really great, really clear. So this is conditions of enoughness. You're asking, what is enough for any given thing you are deciding to do? Number one, name what is enough in facts. Number two, set a time element for how often and how long. Number three, be dependent only on you, no one else. And number four, practice saying out loud, I did what I said I would do, and I am satisfied. That's brilliant. And I think the more we can bring that kind of structure to our lives is going to be great. You know, and I think, I remember reading this in totally off the Philosopher's Notes track, but Tim Ferriss's, I think it was, no, it wasn't Tim Ferriss. It was another kind of lifestyle design book. It was talking about, you know, how much to earn in 1 month, because I think there are so many of us that just want to keep earning and earning and making money and making money, but we have no idea of, well, what's enough? You know, if I'm making $10,000 a month, is that enough? 20, 50, 100? Like, what am I aiming for? What am I doing? And so to, you know, just in that example, assign a number of, well, if I make this amount per month, that's enough. You know, that's enough for me to live on or do what I need to do or have the resources for what I want to accomplish. So then to just bring a little more clarity of, you know, setting the time element, being dependent only on yourself, and then that positive mantra at the end, I think is really huge. And if you go to Jennifer's website, which is Jennifer Louden, LOUDEN.com, JenniferLouden.com, and you can participate in her self-trust e-course. And when you sign up, you will receive a series of free emails. So you can go to Jennifer's website, JenniferLouden.com, get her self-trust e-course, and continue to rock it that way. So we just have a few more big ideas, and I want to go over to The Big Glow, Living an Inspired Life with Brian Piergrassi. We got week number five, The Inspired Relationships. So big idea number one, stay on your train. Now, I'm traveling quite a bit these days, and I do take a lot of trains, so this definitely resonated with me on a couple of different levels. So this is kind of a, you know, I guess they would call it a metaphor or an allegory, I'm not sure, but a bit of a story here. And Brian takes us on this ride, pun intended, if you will. So imagine that you're on a train, and this train is your life. Now, what's important is to stay on the tracks. What that means is stick with your meaning, your purpose, and your connection to spirit. Staying on the tracks is about following your heart. Now, are you trying to get others to stay on your train? Some people may need to leave or may only come aboard for a short time. If you come from an unconditional love and let others go on their own path, allow them to follow their tracks, a space opens up for people who are in alignment with you. You want relationships to be natural and effortless based on your connection to spirit and source. Whoever keeps showing up in your life, those are the people who are meant to be there and the people meant to be on your train. How do you find these people? Be as authentic as you can, moment to moment. So there's a lot of great wisdom in there, and I totally relate with this. I mean, there are tons of people that, you know, that come in and out of our lives, and, you know, you just, you don't want to let them go, and you're trying to hang on to them, and you're trying to keep them on your train, but guess what? You know, it might just be time for them to get off and go in a different direction, and that's okay, because it opens up spaces for new people to come on, and that's very, you know, it's kind of a scary place to be, because we're very uncertain about all that. Because we don't know, you know, I think the natural tendency is we assume if someone leaves, no one's going to fill that space. But of course, that's never what happens. You know, there are always new people that come into our lives. So, you know, just being okay and accepting that there are going to be people that come onto our train just for a short time and then leave, or people who don't even want to go on our train. And then there will be people that ride it for a long, long time, maybe with us all the way to the end. So just, you know, opening up for those people who are in alignment with us. And this is such a big thing for me these days, creating relationships that are natural and effortless. And Brian talks about being, you know, they're based on your connection to spirit and source. So many times in my life, and it continues to show up, you're trying to force a relationship. You may not even be present to it, but you're really trying to make it happen. It might be someone you want to date or you know, be in a relationship with or a business partner. It's like you're doing everything you can to make this work. And it's like, does it feel natural? Does it feel effortless? You know, where is the energy? Is it just kind of a natural connection? If it isn't, maybe it's not the right time to partner up with that person. And as difficult as that can be to realize, it just may not be the right time. And so, you know, Brian's advice is, you know, how do you find these people? Just continue to be as authentic as you can, moment to moment. That's what it's all about. Just continue to be who you are, who you know you are to be, you know, have your values, live in accordance with those, follow your heart. We're hearing this same advice again and again and again, and the right people are going to show up. The people who are meant to be in your life are going to show up. It may not always be the people we think are supposed to be in our lives or the people maybe we want to be in our lives, but the right people, the people that are going to, you know, allow us to reach new heights that we couldn't on our own, those are the people that's going to show up, and that is very exciting. And so as I literally am going on a train today to a new destination, a new city, it's about, you know, remembering just I can't get to that city if I jump off the train or if I'm, you know, forcing people to stay on the train. It's not going to be an enjoyable ride, and I may even be kicked off my own train, which literally and figuratively is not going to be a good idea. So that was the big idea from Brian's class for this week. Okay, and we have our final big ideas from The Power of Authentic Living with Alan Cohen, and we're in the final week. Week number 8, enjoy the ride. I think very fitting, coming right off our train analogy and finishing out the class this week. You know, it's all about enjoying the ride. And I've really enjoyed reading Alan's classes. Just so, you know, he has a very easy and simple, not simplistic, but simple way of presenting the information. It's just really cool. Just great energy from that guy. Highly encourage you to check out his books, his classes, and the notes. So let's dive right in. Big idea number 1, enjoy the ride. Are you headed towards fame, fortune, enlightenment? How's it going? Are you cherishing each day as you take baby steps toward your highest vision? Or are you going at breakneck speed towards the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, no matter what? Many of us in Western culture are trying to get to the top of the mountain, never realizing the garden that was along the way. If we move too fast up the mountain, we may become numb to the beauty all around us. An easy exercise to help you enjoy the ride is gratitude. Stop reading and say, write, or think about 5 things you are grateful for at this present moment. And I'm going to have you do that right now. I'm going to give you just a few seconds to think about that, about 5 things you are grateful for at this present moment. Okay, hope you got your 5. I did the exercise too, and that's great. So here's to the journey. So what a great idea from Alan. You know, just that taking a step back of like, yeah, I am so focused on, you know, fame, fortune, or enlightenment, you know, any of those things. And it's like, yeah, how's that journey going? How's the process going? And, you know, are you really like just diving in and cherishing and loving, like, what a beautiful gift this is, what an amazing experience? Or is it, you know, get out of my way, I'm going full speed, knocking anything down? And I thought that was a great way he put it, is that, you know, we're trying to get to the top of the mountain, we never realize there was this beautiful garden along the way. So if we move too fast up the mountain, we may become numb to the beauty all around us. So enjoy the journey. You know, it's we hear this over and over. It's not about the destination. It's about the journey. It's about getting there. It's about what do we learn along the way? What do we see along the way? What can we share along the way? Because often we'll get to the summit or the peak and it's like, oh, okay, fine. And then we're looking for the next peak, you know, the next summit, the next conquest. It's not as I think fulfilling as we imagine it will be. Sometimes it is, but I think really it's about what did that process feel like? And that's such a great question is even going into something, what do we want this experience, this process, this journey to feel like? So, and then of course, gratitude. I mean, if there is possibly the biggest exercise that we see over the course of all these classes, it is practicing gratitude. You know, I remember seeing it in Strength for Life, and so many other people have mentioned it. You know, gratitude is so key in our lives of just enjoying the experience, remembering all of the goodness that's there. It's so, so good. And now I just want to finish out Alan's class with a big idea number three. He gives a couple books for a deserted island. I thought this was very cool. He says if Alan Cohn was stuck on an island, he would want two books. And you know, I'm going to be putting these on my reading list. Number one, A Course in Miracles and the Tao Te Ching by Lao Tzu. Alan says that these two books have a lifetime of wisdom. And let me give you a little description, a little wisdom from each book. A Course in Miracles is a self-study curriculum that aims to assist its readers in achieving spiritual transformation. There's practical lessons and applications for the practice of forgiveness in one's daily life. The introduction of the book contains the following summary. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. I'm going to say that again because that is some deep goodness. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. That's all about A Course in Miracles. Some of that was taken from Wikipedia. And I'm a huge fan of A Course in Miracles because I'm a huge fan of Marianne Williamson, who has made her life work sharing A Course in Miracles. And I've attended a number of her talks and listened to them, streamed them online. You can go to her website, marianne.com. One of our other professors, Gabrielle Bernstein, taught a class called Spirit Junkie, and Gabrielle, like Marianne, is sharing A Course in Miracles. So that's a great book, and if it's at the top of Alan's list, you know it's really good and probably one to add to your list as well. And now let's talk about the Tao Te Ching. So the Tao Te Ching, or the Book of the Way, is the classic manual on the art of living and one of the wonders of the world. This is all from Amazon. It looks at the basic predicament of being alive and gives advice that imparts balance and perspective, a serene and generous spirit. This book is about wisdom in action. It teaches how to work for the good with the effortless skill that comes from being in accord with the Tao, the basic principle of the universe, and it applies equally to good government and sexual love, to child rearing, business, and ecology. So just one of those, you know, overall great books that gives you a lot of practical advice about how to, you know, as they say, you know, putting wisdom in action, which is so key here, you know, and that's what I hope not only the Academy is, but even this show is it can be for you. It's not just about like, oh, let me listen to a bunch of cool ideas. It's about which one is really firing me up and which one am I going to put into practice? Which one am I going to tackle and do? So there's two good books, A Course in Miracles and Lao Tzu's The Tao Te Ching, or The Book of the Way. I'm definitely, like I said, I'm going to add those to my reading list. I encourage you to do that for yours. And that is it for the TA discussion hour this week. Again, we had Strength for Life with Sean Phillips, Love University with Mastin Kipp, A Five-Star Practice for Creating Beautiful Relationships with Dr. Keith Witt, The Shiro's Journey with Jennifer Loudon, The Big Glow with Brian Pierre-Grassi, and The Power of Authentic Living with Alan Cohen. So those are all the notes we covered this week. Really excited again to be here and to be doing this. Thank you so much. Again, you can go to entheosacademy.com and theosradio.com and theos.com/blog. And if you're feeling really ambitious, you can even go to tadiscussionhour.podbean.com. You can subscribe to the show. You can get it through iTunes or get the feed another way. And it's all there. All the shows are there. So thanks very much for listening. Hope you got some big ideas for your life. Really excited to continue to do this, and we will see you next week in the discussion hour. All right, take care, everyone.